This morning's scripture reading is from the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated.
Well, good morning. Good morning. Can you hear me? Are you awake? Yeah. No. Oh, these kids, they just like to give me a hard time. Just like Clay. Thank you for those announcements, Clay. Button up that door. You did a good job with that. I love your agricultural references. My name's Todd. I'm one of the pastors here at Fellowship. It's an honor to be a pastor here. It's an honor to be a part of a leadership team here. It's an honor here to hear you sing, to hear a church sing. And I really think that you mean this. All my life, you've been faithful. Amen. Fellowship Church, the entire life of Fellowship Church, God has been faithful to us. And, you know, especially when you're in my shoes, you know, you kind of wonder how things are going to pan out. You know, what are the next 5 years of this church going to look like? I don't know, but I do know that God will be faithful through it all, through it all. I've no reason to doubt that, and it's just a joy to hear you sing. We had a members' vision meeting Sunday night. If you weren't a part of that, we have a video. We have a link. You should have, if you're a member of this church, you should have received an email with a link to where you could enter a password. It's all very top secret because it's for members only. It's kind of fun, right? Don't you want to watch it? Encourage you to watch that if you weren't able to be a part of that. The elders met a few days ago, talked through some things, and I just want to let you know one main thing. You know, we're in this transition. We're looking to hire someone, and we don't have a clue who that someone is, but we're looking for a lead pastor, a pastor for preaching and vision. And one of the things, you know how sometimes you're in a relationship and someone asks you a question, but it's really not a question, it's a statement? Like, hey, are you thirsty? You know, like someone might ask you that. Like what they mean is like, I'm thirsty, will you get me a Diet Coke? You know, one of the questions that came up at our last members meeting and has been something that's been offered up as a question several times is, are you open to including the membership in the search process kind of more formally? And what that question means is, I think you should open up this process to the membership for a search team. Man, the elders, we talked about that idea the other night, and we've really just decided to involve the membership more formally in a search process, and that's going to look like probably an 8-member team with some pretty high time, and just they're going to need to be doing a lot in the next, especially 60, 90 days, and so. That 8-person team, we're going to start by inviting a member of each GCG leader, okay? So one of the two. We've got 15 or 16 groups right now, and so That's where we're going to start by filling that out. They've been already, you know, vetted, and they get the DNA, and their boots are aligned, and their shoulders are to the plow. Do you like that one? All right, did that resonate with you? All right, Green County over there, and so we're going to start with them. I just want to let you know that that's the direction we're heading. We're heading. And we're going to hit the ground running with round two of a search process for our lead guy. So thankful, excited that the team is heading that direction. So I've really enjoyed our time in Ephesians. Dr. Abe Kuravilla walking us through. There's one more sermon in a few weeks that Abe's going to preach, May 22, Lord willing. But I just really enjoyed the question at the beginning is like, okay, when he's not preaching, what are we as a church family going to be going through? And I've just really enjoyed considering other Pauline ideas, things that relate, things that are touched on in Ephesians, but maybe highlighted more in 1 Corinthians or Colossians in this case today. Just really enjoyed kind of complimenting what Abe's doing in the book of Ephesians. This might be dumb, but you know, you've got this band up here, and you've got. You know, I'm imagining Abe is kind of like the lead vocal. You know, he's got his guitar, and he's laying down just a nice solid melody, and every once in a while I get to play like a little electric riff, like a dee-dee-dee-dee, you know, a little riff over here on the side, and I hope that it complements what is happening on days when I don't preach. So. Pray that it's a sweet sound. Whatever kind of band we're putting together up here on Sunday mornings to preach God's word is a sweet sound in the ears of God and a blessing to this church body. So on Easter Sunday, 2 weeks ago, I had the honor of bringing God's word from Colossians. Like Ephesians, Colossians is an ancient letter that Paul wrote to a church under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. On Easter Sunday, if you remember all the way back 14 days ago, we talked about a resurrection mindset. Do you remember this? A resurrection mindset. Set your minds on things above. We looked at just what it looks like to see above and to think about the aboveness of our lives. If you remember, this is 2 weeks ago, a long time ago, but some of the things we looked at, number one, Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. So I know Easter was 2 weeks ago. He's still alive today. Amen. Amen. He is. Jesus is risen. Hey, thank you, Bob. Thank you. Yeah, you knew where I was going with that. We can still say that even though it's not Easter Sunday. He is risen indeed. Jesus is alive. He is above. He is currently seated at the right hand of God the Father. What's he doing up there? He's ruling. He's reigning. He's interceding for us. Second, if we are in Christ, so if you have by grace through faith joined yourself to Jesus by virtue of that faith, you've repented of your sin. You've said, "I want to follow you, Jesus, my Lord and Savior." If you are in Christ, then you are raised as well. You are raised as well. We looked at that 2 weeks ago. Paul says it like this: you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. We are hidden with Christ. It's something that can't easily be seen, but it is true. It is true that we are with Christ. His death is our death. His new life is our new life. And as we set our minds on things above, we groove a new way of thinking. A resurrection mindset. There's an aboveness to the way that we see, the way that we think. And today we have a text, a few verses later, clearly express that not only are we to think differently, to have an aboveness to our mindset, but we are also to relate differently. Today our text is about relationships. And Paul says it has everything to do with how we dress. How we dress. Let's look at the text, Colossians 3, 12 through 14. I'm going to be spending my time there today. Colossians 3, 12 through 14. Put on then, And the reason I say it has everything to do with how we dress is because some translations say, instead of put on then, clothe yourselves. Clothe yourselves. So put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. So this text is about relationships. There's an aboveness to the way we relate, to the way we clothe ourselves. And I was thinking about clothing. You know, we're a pretty casual church. Occasionally I'll wear some flip-flops up here. I see a few people in flip-flops. You know, I don't ever know quite what to wear when I'm preaching. Truth be told, I wear a coat like this because I sweat. And if you sweat like I do and you only wear a dress shirt, it's very obvious that you sweat. And it's very distracting. But if you cover that up with a sport coat, you have no clue that I'm a big sweater. It's not as distracting. But we're a pretty casual church in terms of how we dress. But there are some... You know, there are some situations in life where how you dress really matters, where how you dress really matters. I really enjoy the outdoors. Any outdoor lovers here? I love outdoors. Yes, I love it. The heavens declare the glory of God, right? So good to be outdoors. I love to travel. And I've always wanted to be able to fly. From a very young age, I dreamed of being a bird, just flying. And so naturally, I love to ski because it combines outdoors, travel, and if you ski like me, it's a lot like flying. So I was on a ski trip recently to Jackson Hole, Wyoming. First time in Jackson, never been there to the Grand Tetons. It's a thing of beauty. And I won't name the individual. Where are you? I won't name the individual, but one of us had to go inside because his toes were so cold. There you are. I was wondering where you were. His toes were so cold and so painfully numb that he feared they would fall off. Now, maybe it was his boots, maybe it was his socks, maybe a combination of both. But because he wasn't wearing the right gear, his day on a beautiful ski slope in Jackson Hole got cut short. Because if you're going to enjoy a day of downhill skiing on the slopes of Jackson Hole when the weather is ice cold, you've got to be wearing the right socks. And if you're going to flourish in relationships and live together with your family, friends, neighbors, and church community, you've got to be wearing the right clothes, the right resurrection clothes. I say resurrection clothes because this is grounded in our being raised with Christ. This has everything to do with our new identity as believers. We are raised with Christ, and so not only do we think with an aboveness and we see with an aboveness, but we dress with an aboveness. And so the question is naturally, what are these resurrection clothes that I am to put on? We see a list here that starts with compassionate hearts. Compassionate hearts. Clothe yourselves, believers, with compassionate hearts. It's this idea of being moved to action by the circumstance of another. I'm a visual learner and sometimes audio, like I'm going to try to paint a few pictures of what this could look like, and maybe that'll be more helpful for you like it was for me. This is like, having a compassionate heart is like dropping off flowers and a card for a friend who has had a hard day. This is like getting up early to go out of your way to help a brother get to church who needs a ride. This is like baking a cake for a friend who had to put their dog down. Compassion, it's being moved to action by the circumstance of another. And this is the first on a very important list of resurrection clothes that we are called to put on. The second one, kindness. Kindness, just thinking about what kindness looks like. It could look like when someone in your family may be short with you, choosing to be kind when maybe they don't quite deserve it, at least in a typical way of operating. Humility, the third on the list. Thinking of others is more important than yourself. Considering what's going on in their life and preferring them. Making yourself low. Meekness, this was an interesting one. One commentator defined meekness as the willingness to suffer injury or insult rather than to inflict such hurts. The willingness to suffer injury or insult rather than inflict such hurts. In other words, you know, I don't know about you, but I've been insulted before. And meekness is having the strength to resist insulting in return, but to be strong enough to desist. Meekness. Patience. Patience. Put on, Paul says, put on patience, bearing with one another. It's the opposite of being quick to anger, resentment, or revenge. The Christian can suffer a long amount of time. Patience, a lot of people say patience, long-suffering, similar idea. A Christian can suffer for a long time because she or he knows deep down in her heart that relief is coming. Salvation is coming. Patience looks like bearing with one another. Now, in what context could that be appropriate in a church? I could think of a few times where I've had to bear with someone. You know, one of the realities is that when someone's going through something, I don't know if you've experienced this, but when you've got a friend who's going through a really hard time, that oftentimes they're hurting and just feeling something pretty vividly, and they may not be as aware as they would want to about how to care for you in that moment. Well, Paul calls us to bear with that person in that moment. Have patience with that person. Relief is coming. On the list, I believe it's six on the list, is forgiveness. Forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. This has a high degree of overlap between the verse in Ephesians 4, verse 32, being kind, forgiving each other. Isn't it cool how Paul has these themes that connect so well? But these resurrection clothes we're supposed to put on forgiveness. In the same way that the Lord has forgiven you, we're supposed to forgive. And finally, he says, love. And above all these, he says, put on love. Clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. So we've got this list. It's a fairly self-explanatory list. They're beautiful words. They're things that we are to put on in this new resurrection reality for us as we embrace our identity as new people. People united by grace through faith to Jesus Christ. But you might be asking, how? Okay, I've got the list. How do I put these on? How do I wear these clothes? Well, you don't put them on in your closet. You can't buy them at the Simpsonville Outlets or the Oxmoor Mall. You put them on as you allow the Holy Spirit that dwells within you to change your heart and your mind. It is hard work, and it is not natural. It is something that does not happen automatically when you become a Christian. Otherwise, Paul wouldn't need to address these things so often, and we wouldn't see so much dysfunction in the New Testament churches and in churches today. So we're going to spend the rest of our lives, our earthly lives, working this out, putting these clothes on as we rely on the Holy Spirit to change our hearts, change our minds. And I want to offer you four ways at getting at answering that question. How do I put them on? The first answer to that question is to ground yourselves in the truths of the gospel. And the reason I start there is because I believe Paul starts there. He says, before he gets to the list, and after he says, clothe yourselves or put on then, he says this, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. Paul tells this church family what to put on, but before he does that, he reminds them that God has set his saving love upon them. They are God's chosen ones. He has called them by name and as they received the gospel of the crucified King Jesus, they quite literally became holy and were shown to be beloved. Christian, you are God's chosen one. He has set his saving love on you in a remarkable way, and you are holy. This is what was true for the Colossian believers, and it's also true of everyone who receives the gospel. You might be asking, how does the gospel help me put on these things? And I think that's a fair question. I want to use an illustration, all right? Let's talk about kindness. Kindness is on this list. Let's take kindness and see how the gospel truths reflecting upon them help us wear kindness. Are there any kids around? We've got, how many kids? There are a lot of kids in here, but there's some middle schoolers, there's some high schoolers. Middle schoolers and high schoolers, just out loud. Is being kind always easy? No. Okay, thank you. Thank you for your honesty. When a friend or brother or sister goes into your room and takes out all of your horses and dolls and doesn't help clean up, is it easy to be kind to that person? No, it's not. When your parents instruct you to clean up said mess in your room, is it easy being kind? No. When a sibling goes into your closet and takes the very sweatshirt that you were planning to wear that day without asking and turns around and says, where's my sweatshirt? Only to find that your sister is wearing it, is it easy to be kind?
No.
Yeah, see, there we go. Was that CJ back there? You can relate, man. That's my sweatshirt. Yeah, let's pray together after the service. Mom, when you must address the same poor behavior or disrespectful attitude for the 400th time, is it easy to be kind?
No.
Roommate, when you come home to the same mess, is being kind always easy? Any roommates? Maybe not a lot of roommates. Dear brother or sister, when you confess your sin to a friend and then years later that person uses that confession against you to paint you into being someone you are not, is it easy to be kind?
No.
It's not. It's very difficult. You see, someone who is relying on their performance or trying to earn favor with God will have a very hard time even admitting there is a problem and will seek to bury these evidences as a lack of kindness in a sea of excuses like, he started it, or my outburst wasn't that bad, or she got what she deserved. But someone who has embraced the truths of the gospel, they can not only admit that being kind is difficult, but they can be freed to work out a solution. Why? Because they are chosen, because they are beloved, because they are holy children of God. They are forgiven, and any kindness, any lack of kindness against a believer does not compare to the amount of the lack of kindness that we have shown our Heavenly Father. And we embrace, we see kindness in the gospel. We see that God has loved us. We see that we have wronged him and he has not repaid us with what we deserve, but he has given us kindness. How kind of the Lord to treat me with such favor when I was a far-off enemy. And so we see that even though it is very difficult to be kind in some of these very likely situations, that the gospel, considering the kindness of God through through the giving of his son, Jesus Christ, on our behalf is one of the very means to how we can put these things on. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourself be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Okay, so the first bit at how do we put these on? Consider the gospel. Do the work of considering the gospel and considering the kindness of Jesus Christ. Number two, examine yourself. Examine yourself. Ask God to search your heart and see what you find. Tomorrow, when you're spending a moment, you're starting your day in heaven, open up your Bible to this text, Colossians 3, 12 through 14, and reflect. Have a pen, have a piece of paper. Examine yourself. Now, some of us, this is easier than others. I can be really stubborn. I can have a hard time seeing myself accurately. Benjamin Franklin once observed, he said this in the Poor Richard's Almanac, there are three things extremely hard: steel, a diamond, and to know oneself. That's extremely hard. But reflect on your relationships. What is stressful about your life and how are you responding? Where in your life is it difficult to put on these garments? And I would encourage you not only to examine yourself, but allow others to examine you. Take this list of resurrection clothes to a trusted individual, to a spouse, to a dear Christian friend, to a pastor, to a community group leader, and say this to them. Now, this is key. You got to say this to them because honest feedback is like you gotta feel really comfortable with someone to go to where you want this friend to go with you. You got to tell them. You got to say this. Hey, friend, I want to grow. I want to grow, and I know that I am not doing life perfectly right now. There are ways that I want to grow, and I'm examining myself. I'm considering these things. I want to grow in these ways and wear these resurrection clothes. But listen, which of these things do you think I need to grow in? Where do you think God is calling me to put these things on in my life? You got to give them permission. You got to say, hey, listen, I want to grow. I want to hear this. I want to receive this with humility. Thirdly, I'd encourage you to look to Jesus Christ. You know, we talk a lot about setting our minds on things above. Well, who's above? Jesus is above. He's ruling, he's reigning, he's interceding. And this Jesus Christ perfectly clothed himself with these garments. Jesus Christ, the compassionate, first on the list, who saw those in need and was moved to do something about it, paying their debt, binding their wounds, making them whole. Jesus, the kind, who found time in his ministry for children and the least of these. Jesus, the humble, who, though he was the Son of God, made himself a servant. Jesus, the meek, the one who would have been so justified in reviling in return because it would have been true, chose not to do so. Jesus Christ, the patient, whose posture towards you and me is not one of, when will he get his act together, but hey, we'll get through this together. Jesus Christ, the forgiver. Jesus Christ, the lover. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. Look to him. Revel in his beautiful, active love for you and emulate him. And finally, I would encourage you to ask God to change you and put in the work. One of the things that we are going to be putting ourselves, clothing ourselves with is patience. We're going to spend the rest of our lives doing this. But you've got to be patient with yourself as you do this hard work, because it's my experience that change rarely happens overnight. It rarely does. Some of you, that's your experience. I was this way, I met Jesus, and boom, I'm a finished product. Maybe that's you. That's not my story. It's been my experience that God uses adversity in our lives to help produce these changes. So on Friday, speaking of adversity, I did a brutal hour plus long workout with five other members of this church and one former member who had the audacity to move away to West Virginia. Hey, Adam. The workout was brutal. It was brutal. Over an hour long. I was dripping sweat. I wanted to quit. And I woke up the next morning sore, but to my disappointment, I couldn't even notice any results from that brutal workout. Because just like an athlete doesn't become LeBron James overnight or Matthew Stafford become just a legit MVP Super Bowl winning quarterback in one practice, so it is with us. Change is hard work. We have to be patient with ourselves. We have to put in the work. Embrace the spiritual disciplines. They aren't called disciplines because they are easy, are they? We tend to see growth when we actually put ourselves in the path of adversity over the course of a lifetime. So as we clothe ourselves, as we do this hard work, as we look to Christ, as we examine ourselves, this is a lifelong process. It's a community process. And I want to just invite you to put yourself in the path of adversity over the course of your lifetime and see what happens. When Christ, who is your life, appears, you will also appear with him in glory. What kind of clothes will you be wearing? It is my prayer and hope and expectation that we will continue to become a church that more and more, as we spend more and more time in loving communion with Jesus Christ, we look to him, we have this aboveness to our mindset and our the way of seeing, that we'd become more and more like him in the process. And on that day when he appears, I believe that we will appear with him in glory, fully arrayed in blood-washed linen. And we will sing and shout of the kindness and the love and the goodness of and the sovereign grace of our God. I'm looking forward to that day. But we've got a lot of work to do before that day. And I just invite you to get to work. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this new identity that we have because of the resurrection of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, our risen King. God, help us to clothe ourselves with these things. Help us to more and more relate to one another, not in the former way of relating, but with this aboveness, with this kindness, with this love, with this compassion, with this meekness, with this patience, that we would be a people that bears with one another. And above all these things, God, I pray that we would be a loving people, that we would clothe ourselves with love, and we would enjoy a beautiful and complete and whole harmony as we do these things by grace through faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.